Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Muslim Perspectives. I'm Hussein Mangesh. Monumentous changes are occurring in the Middle East. Today we're going to present you with a special program with a distinctively Muslim perspective. We hope you find it informative.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Zafar Mangesh. People's uprisings have swept long entrenched dictators in many Middle Eastern countries. They started off with Tunisia, where General Zain al-Abidin bin Ali was swept from power within less than 1 month, while he had remained in power for 23 years. This was followed by the ouster of President Hosni Mubarak of Egypt, who was driven out of power in a matter of 18 days. There are other people also in the Middle East that are now feeling the heat. This includes the Colonel Muammar Gaddafi of Libya, Sultan Qaboos of Oman, King Hamad ibn Isa al-Khalifa of Bahrain, President Abdulaziz Bouteflika in Algeria, as well as the two kings, King Abdullah of Jordan and King Abdullah in Saudi Arabia. What is going to happen next is a question that people are speculating about. What we would like to look at today is what is fueling the people's rage and what these momentous changes in the Middle East mean. It all started in tiny Tunisia, total population 10 million. On December 17th, Mohamed Bouazizi, an unemployed university graduate, set himself ablaze after being humiliated by a police officer in the town of Sidi Bouzid, south of the capital, Tunis. Unable to find work in his own profession, that is information technology, Bouazizi was forced to sell vegetables from a cart to feed his family. A police officer told him it was illegal and not only confiscated his cart, but also slapped him in public. Bouazizi felt so humiliated that he bought some gasoline, poured it on himself, and set himself on fire in front of the municipality building. He suffered burns to 80% of his body, and on January the 4th, 2011, he died in hospital. As if this was not enough, the police forbid his family from taking out a public funeral procession. This so infuriated his family and friends that the funeral procession was turned into a public demonstration in which other people also joined in. News of Bouazizi's self-immolation had already spread throughout Tunisia by people using Twitter and Facebook. With 275,000 unemployed university graduates, his burning death became a rallying cry and provided the spark that set the entire Middle East ablaze. People were already reeling from decades of oppression, massive corruption among members of the ruling family, especially bin Ali's hairdresser wife Lala Trablisi and her nephews, and the regime's clampdown on any forms of protests. It is reported that bin Ali and his wife and their family members have stolen something like $5 billion from the country. Some of it has been used to buy properties in Montreal, Canada. As protests escalated, the regime unleashed the hated riot police on them. This is standard tactic used by dictatorial regimes throughout the Middle East to crush dissent. In Tunisia, General Zain al-Abidin bin Ali had strengthened the police and downgraded the military, fearing it might stage a coup, just as he himself had done against his long-serving predecessor, President Habib Bourguiba, in 1987. In whose cabinet General bin Ali had served for many years. The idea of establishing a police state in Tunisia was that General bin Ali with the backing of his Western masters, wanted to crush any Islamic awakening in Tunisia. In fact, this is the scene that we have seen in every other Muslim country where dictatorial regimes are scared of Islamically active people and the Islamic movements, and Western governments also, despite parroting claims about democracy, do not wish to see Islamically committed people coming to power. So General bin Ali, as well as Hosni Mubarak of Egypt and other dictators, have always been backed by Western governments, providing them weapons, riot gear, and other paraphernalia to oppress their people. Once people lost fear of the riot police and the thousands of spies of the regime that were crawling all over the country, the protests gradually spread and ultimately reached the capital of Tunisia, that is Tunis. The protesters' demands also started to escalate, ultimately culminating in demanding the ouster of General Zainul Abidin bin Ali from power. This was a new and unexpected development. By January 12th, the riot police had lost control, and despite using water cannons, tear gas shells, and live ammunition, all supplied by France and other Western governments, the people of Tunisia were neither intimidated nor subdued. It was at this stage that bin Ali asked the military to crack down on protesters and gave orders to shoot to kill. To his credit, the army chief, General Rashid Ammar, refused to comply. This sealed bin Ali's fate. On Friday, January the 14th, General bin Ali was really coming to the end of his rope. During the day, he had a conversation with Prince Naif bin Abdulaziz, the interior minister of Saudi Arabia, to confer with him as to how to confront this situation. Prince Naif told him to make some concessions to the people, to release some of the prisoners, but most importantly, to stay put in Tunisia, not to leave the country. By that evening, General bin Ali and his family were on a flight straight out of Tunis, and they ended where, of all places? Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.